Well, the Beatles' sound is unmistakable. Just a few bars in and you'll likely recognize that as Come Together by John Lennon. But you may have a harder time explaining exactly why you love that song. Maybe it's the melody, the lyrics, or the memory it evokes. Well, Jason Brown has another answer. Math. The professor of mathematics at Dalhousie University researches the link between music and mathematics, and he is giving a talk at the Halifax Central Library tomorrow night. It's called Math and Music. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But first, he joins us in our studio. Thanks for coming in.
You're welcome, Bob. Great to be here.
Well, that's very interesting. I don't think of math when I think of music. You obviously do. What can we learn about the Beatles' songs using math?
Well, I think you can learn a variety of different things by looking at the math that's inherent in their songs. I get a greater appreciation for the craft of their songwriting and the cleverness of the way they took little phrases and turned them into a song via mathematics.
So did Lennon and McCartney then use math consciously, or is this something subconscious?
I think it's completely subconscious. But when you play music and, you know, when you sing a harmony line, there's a whole bunch of calculations that go on in your head unbeknownst to the singer or the performer. And it's those calculations that make music.
And you've made music, right? Using math?
Yes, I've written a number of songs, pop songs, using mathematics, using tricks that I learned inherent in the Beatles canon, and creating songs by twisting them in much the same way that the Beatles did.
All right. Can you give us an example? You, by the way, have a guitar in hand that folks are going to hear just a second from now, I think.
Right.
Go ahead.
So I'm going to play you some examples from the Beatles songs. I'll choose a couple from the White Album because it's the 50th anniversary of the White Album. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, one of the things, a simple thing that you can do is to take a riff, which is a short little bit of music often played on guitar, and transpose it. And the transposition of it is really a mathematical transformation. And so it keeps the unity with the figure, and yet it allows for some variety. So, for instance, in something like Birthday, here we go. So you take that one little phrase and you apply really two mathematical functions to it, and you've got a whole song.
All right, so describe the mathematical functions, though. I'm hearing the music.
Right.
What's the math?
So the math behind it is you take that little phrase, that sequence, and then you transpose it up five semitones. And that's applying the function f of x equals x plus 5 to the entire sequence.
What's the equation again?
It would be x plus 5.
X plus 5, okay.
Right? And then you do x plus 7 to move it up a perfect fifth. And then you move it back down again. So all those kind of operations go on naturally to a composer and to a musician, but they are explicitly mathematical.
Well, why do some work, though, and become popular and others don't? Is everything mathematical to make it work? If it's going to be successful,
I don't know if everything is mathematical, but I think the best songs have some mathematics in it. So, for instance, I wrote an article in Guitar Player magazine called "The Mathematics of John's Left Hand," mm-hmm. and it had to do with the song "I Want to Hold Your Hand." And this is something that I'll be talking about more tomorrow at the library. But for instance, the very beginning of the song goes like this. And with that beginning, it's kind of a mysterious beginning in the sense that as listeners, we always want to orient ourselves to where is beat one in the song. And without any other clues, we assume that the song starts on beat one. But that song cleverly does not start on beat one. And so it's kind of a trick, a little joke, until a couple bars later you figure out that they did that trick to you. They started on the and after three rather on beat one. Because it's clever, and it tricks you every time. I know a musician who told me he played that song for a long while before he could figure out exactly how the Beatles counted it in. And it's just a simple little trick, but yet it can make the difference between having something rather ordinary and something that lasts forever.
So what reaction do you get from musicians when you share your research on this?
It's varied. I get from a lot of musicians a lot of kudos for looking at it in a different way. Mm. I mean, I think, you know, one thing you'd like to do as an artist is somehow be able to look at your art in a way that's different from the way it's been looked at in the past. And so looking at it mathematically gives me a different viewpoint and allows others who sort of buy into it to look at their music from a mathematical point of view. On the other hand, I do have some people who write to me and they're very angry that I'm pointing out that there's mathematics in music. Because I think primarily they feel that mathematics is at the other end of the spectrum from music. Mathematics to them is boring. Music isn't. Mathematics is just calculations. Mathematics is algorithms. Mathematics is not emotional. But mathematics is none of that. It can be emotional. It can be aesthetically beautiful. It can be creative choices. And I think people who do mathematics can see the creativity in the mathematics. Unfortunately, I think for some people, they've had a bad experience somewhere along their education in mathematics. Mm. And I find that for many subjects like English, if you have a bad teacher for 1 year, you recover.
Right.
But if you have a bad teacher in mathematics for 1 year, you never recover.
But isn't creativity all about not being confined by, say, in this case, the laws of mathematics? Isn't that what creativity is?
Well, creativity is in part not being bound by certain laws, but part of creativity is setting up expectations, mm-hmm. and sometimes meeting those expectations, but other times introducing a surprise. But to introduce a surprise, you have to set up the expectations. And so there is mathematics in setting up the expectations, and there can be mathematics in the surprise.
So are there songs that aren't governed by math, or just songs that maybe I don't realize is math at work?
I think there probably are some songs that aren't inherently mathematical, but I find that for myself, when I analyze a song, I sense that there is a lot of math in the song, and it's hard to find it. And so sometimes it can take me months and even years to find the mathematics that's inherent in the songs.
Is there an example?
For example, let's say I Want to Hold Your Hand Again,
mm-hmm.
the chorus goes like this. And then you have the bridge. So one of the things that I want to figure out is that bridge is so perfect. It's fits the song perfectly, and yet it's refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things I noticed after many years was that the Beatles created the bridge, the chords for the bridge, subconsciously by taking the chords from the chorus of the song and doing two mathematical operations to them. One was to stretch them out double in time. And the other one was to move it up 5 semitones. And so that's exactly how they get the chords to the bridge. They do something called a modulation. They change keys, but they do those two operations. Almost. There's one little part, the opening chord of the bridge, is not quite the right mathematical chord. And what I figured out was that I looked at a tape of John Lennon playing that first chord in the bridge of I Want to Hold Your Hand. And unlike Paul and George, he plays the perfect mathematical chord when I looked at it on the Ed Sullivan Show. And it's very unusual for one guitarist to play a different chord from another one at the same time. But the reason I figure that he did it is he knew subconsciously what was the perfect mathematical chord. And John was the kind of person who would say, I'm going to play the perfect chord.
It still sounds interesting. Maybe it doesn't fit into a mathematical equation.
Right.
But it sounds interesting.
It sounds interesting, right. So I think people think mathematics is always equations or it's always calculations. But mathematics is more than that. It's a logic. It's a way of thinking. And so, you know, people, great composers like John and Paul and George naturally did this.
So how does knowing the mathematics of a song change the listening experience for you? Does it, every song that goes by, are you starting to think about the math behind it?
I'm often thinking about the math that's inherent in it. You know, I played guitar for such a long time that, you know, I can hear a song now and transcribe in my head the chords that go by. And I hear little patterns, and then I get an appreciation for the clever thing that they did with those patterns. So, you know, for, you know, another example, George Harrison picked up on Chuck Berry's love of playing patterns of threes against the background patterns of fours and twos. And Chuck Berry loved this so much in his lead guitar playing that I noticed that he did his famous duck walk skedaddling across the stage exactly when he does these patterns of threes on top of the patterns of fours. It's like rubbing your tummy and patting your head at the same time. It's two patterns at the same time, and it's kind of delicious. But George Harrison picked up on this and used it in a variety of different places. So, for example, if you listen to you know, some of the outtakes when he was writing Something during the timing of the White Album, listen to the descending line at the end of each line of the bridge. All of those descending lines are patterns of threes against the background patterns of fours, and it takes it from something that would be rather ordinary into something that you can't forget.
Fascinating stuff. I would love for you to continue to play on, but you're sitting in the newsreader seat. We have to make way for the news. This is very interesting. We'll tell folks how they can listen to more of this this evening, but thanks for coming in this afternoon. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob.
That is Jason Brown, who is a professor in the Department of Mathematics and Statistics at Dalhousie University, and he is speaking at the Halifax Central Library Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, actually. It's Tuesday night at 7 o'clock.